Okay, so this is always, I feel like, the sign that the season is over and the summer is about to start when we hit like the Megillah of Rut. So here we go. It's an interesting analysis of essentially one pasuk, and the idea, we usually use Yael Ziegler. It's gonna take us a lot of years to finish that book. I don't know, four prakim of Megillat Rut, and she's got 500 something pages. So she basically like tears apart pasuk bet, perek bet, pasuk bet, and tries to understand what's going on in that one pasuk. And by understanding that pasuk, I think she uncovers quite a bit of the, I guess, the tension and the dynamic between Root and between Naomi. So here we go. Well, Naomi Modali Shaish Gibor Chayil Mimishpachet Elimelech Ushmo Boaz. So Naomi had a family member who was quite known, and he was a brave, strong man from the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So the question is, why do we need this pasuk? Is it simply the narration? So narration is telling us that you're about to embark on Perek Bet, which is where Ruth is going to go out into the fields. Ruth is going to go from looking for someone to help feed the family. And who is the hero? Who's the one that saves them? It's of course Boaz. So you have to know beforehand that Boaz is from Mishpachet Elimelech, that they're family. So is that the reason for it? Or is it maybe, some other possibility? So let's take a look at the Igeret Shmuel. The Igeret Shmuel, I actually thought that was a very clever name for a Mefoash on Megillat Rut, because Shmuel is the one that writes the Sefer. So I was curious who the Igeret Shmuel is, so I Googled it. And according to Wikipedia, it is a 15th century Kabbalist from the city of Tzfat, whose name happens to be Rav Shmuel, something very Sephardi sounding. So it is, I guess, a little bit less clever than I thought. But Igeret Shmuel, so what does he say? He says, "Biotchalamalo amar lo nami modali shavef sharshe kavna lomar kim yad bewana shama asher yad betchilak tzir sorim yad nodal nami moda v'samasek karov." That it could be that what happened, that as soon as they got there, it happened to be the time for the harvest of the barley. And something happened that brought Naomi in contact with Boaz. So according to the Igeret Shmuel, they actually had met. Naomi had met with Boaz. Ruth had seen that, and when that happened, she was like, "Oh, well, if I'm going to go into a field, which field am I going to go to? I'm going to obviously go to the field of Boaz because that's my family member." Fine. V'amar lo ha'katuv ki lachu tzuchal eshol ezo hi derech stei Boaz ki elukim ana liyada mibli shela klal v'zeo v'yiker mikre echal kares sedeh le-Boaz. The only thing she has to do is she has to find directions on how to get to Boaz's field. So according to the Igeret Shmuel, there actually is a pre-existing relationship between Naomi and Elima and Boaz that was made known to Ruth. So when she shows up, she's actually just following kind of the footsteps of where she kind of thought they were going. Okay, so that is one possibility. Not sure if that's the only possibility. I'm not sure if that is the simplest possibility. Pasuk bet. Vatomer Rut ha-Moavia el Nami, el Chana ha-Sadeh v'laktav ha-Shibolim achar sherem tzachem beinav, vatomer lecha biti. So what happens? Rut Hamoavia says to Naomi, "I will go to the field, we don't know what field, and I will harvest in the stalks, and I'll find favor in his eyes." And she says to her, "Go, my daughter." Okay, any questions on this pasuk? I think I have at least four on this one pasuk.
Well, you already underlined one, but...
Okay, so what's the question on the word?
I guess it is odd language, like, why would you, I will please go, to, like, why it's, I would ask it that way, and I mean, it's a good thing that she's going. Why would she's, like, she hasn't... permission, I guess? I don't know.
Good. So I think that the word na begs the question of whether she's asking permission, like, please, can I go? Or is it just like a fact? Like, I will go. And the na is just like kind of biblical style. But na does make it more, like, a little bit more, a little tricky as to what's going on in the pasuk. Okay, good. That's what my first question. What other questions could you possibly have on Pasuk Bet?
Is regularly referred to as Hamoaviyah throughout the whole Sefer?
No.
So here's one.
Good. So why is she referenced here as Root Hamoaviyah? Sometimes she is, sometimes she's Root, sometimes she's Root, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. So why specifically write Hamoaviyah here? Okay, that is... another one of my questions. Good. What other questions could we possibly have on this pasuk?
I guess the phrasing "Mashibachar Asharim Zachim Beina." What's what she's saying? I'm going to prick in the barley of after the one who I will find favor in his eyes.
Right. I guess it's referring. I guess it's referring. Right. I guess she's hoping that she's going to find favor in the eyes of the person whose field she's going to go into.
Whoever they may be, even though they all know very well who she's going to.
Well, I mean, I don't think pshat is that they know who she's going to. According to the Igaret Shmuel, they know that where she's going, which actually, according to the Igaret Shmuel, that would actually, in Tzachim Beinav, actually makes a lot more sense. I think it's a lot harder to understand that phrase if she's going to a random field.
Is this, I don't remember which is which, Leket, shikha that she's going for, or this is a job she's going for?
Okay, so that's a great question. Just in general, she's a poor person. Shouldn't she be? She should be eligible if she's go. I guess it's like twofold. Is it a job? It doesn't seem like that because she says, "Well, aktaba shibolim. Shibolim are, you know, the loose stalks." So then it seems like which one is she going for? She's only going for one of the leket shikha and peyas. Why doesn't she go for the other one? Certainly peya would be like, you know, the biggest one. There's a whole corner of the field. So why doesn't she go for that? It's a good question that Yael Ziegler raises, is that who is supposed to get from who what do you have to be to get from the matnosaniyim in your field, to get from the poor product of the field? You have to be, what are like generally the three types of people that take?
An almana?
Yeah.
Ani, whatever that means.
An ani, yeah.
A grusha.
Okay, so not a grusha, but a ger, an almana, or a yosoma. She's got all three of them, right? If she's ger, she is an almana.
Is she already a ger? She ger?
At this point, most people feel that she converted.
I don't think it's that formal of a process. It didn't sound like, but yeah, whatever happened in Paragala.
Yeah, I don't think there were like classes back then. I think it's sort of like, okay, I want to be Jewish. You're like, check. You're good.
So which of those boxes was she checking when she was going?
She's got all three of them. Right, and yet she's like saying "Emtzachin beinav," that hopefully I'm going to find favor in his eyes. She's almost saying like I'm hopeful that there's going to be like an act of chesed that's going to save me here. But why? Why do we have to worry about an act of chesed? She's entitled to it. Naomi's entitled to it. Well, what about Naomi's response? Do you find it like a little bit like weird? What does she say? Yeah, go my daughter.
Right?
How would, if you had to read it, what tone would you read it with?
For almost like pleading.
Okay. Mm. So Steve says pleading. Anybody agree, disagree?
It seems more flat or dismissive, but okay, fine, go. But
okay.
I don't know why it would be like that. But
it's hard to read into.
Yeah. Context.
I like read it as like kind of like very apathetic, like whatever, just go.
But then if you put like the description of Hamoabiyah with the fact that she's calling her BT, it makes it odder still. Like Hamoabiyah would seem to like separate them, and then BT would be like bringing close. Well, which one? I don't know what's happening.
So David, it sounds like you're kind of, because of the fact that it's the daughter is there, then you're not you don't feel like it's apathetic.
I don't know.
Oh, it's not sure.
Two ends of the spectrum. I don't know which is.
It's also very possible.
I mean, the narrator says hello, and Rook says BT. So I mean, Naama says BT. I don't know.
Also possible that it's talking about. Within the same pasuk, it's talking about different perspectives.
Okay.
And BT is Naomi's feeling about Ruth, which is seems to be very close and personal. On the other hand, Hamoviah, maybe that's more like societal. It's like you're going, but you're going, and don't forget you have this label. It's almost like the scarlet letter. The Moabite woman is walking down the field, down the street. Let's cross the other side.
Okay, so Steve is definitely right, and it's a great point. The idea of the Ruth Hamoaviah might be like a cultural thing. How she is accepted by the people there. That's definitely
not accepted.
Right. That's a very important point. Let's hold on to that for just a moment, because I still think that we have a couple more questions, but I'm not done yet with like lechi BT. Yes, the word BT does sound like a little bit more close, but there definitely are moments where people use like terminology like, you know, I guess like what's the word? How would I say it? I forgot my English.
Satirical?
What was that?
Satirical.
Maybe. I mean, I hear that. I wasn't going that direction. But more like, when...
Maybe it's more like BT meaning like age-wise.
Oh, okay. That's a possibility. So I guess we're...
Just like an old person will say, to any younger person like myself or you or anyone on this chat, like,
we are all young. Just let's make that clear.
What?
I said we're all young. We've got to make that clear.
I mean, much older person.
Right.
Someone in the 80s will look at us and say, "Oh, you're youngin."
Right. So I think that's one possibility. I guess in my head I was thinking slightly differently. Like when one is like uses like nice, sweet terminology to a spouse or a child, but it's really just like perfunctory. They don't really mean it, but it's just because that's how you always refer to your spouse, your child, dear, something like that. But you're like not in a good mood and you don't really mean it. So l'chi b'ti, you could read like almost the same way. Like she doesn't really, mean it, but it's just like, it's how you have to talk. But either way, the fact that her response is so short, right? What Root is offering is actually a pretty big deal. I'm willing to go out into the field. I'm willing to embarrass myself. I'm willing to put myself out there to save us. And she's like, yeah, whatever. So that's, I think, the first question is, why is her response so short? But I think...
It would have been more appropriate.
Thank you so much, dear. I can't believe you're doing this. This is amazing. So you'll answer, but it's Tanakh, and Tanakh is short, and Tanakh doesn't need to write all of that. But if you take a look at the in the right next to it, it says Aleph Yud Bet. So it's also the last thing she said was Shovna Benotai Lechna, like just go home. This is the first thing that they've said since like Ruth has said, no, I'm not leaving. And it's pretty similar. Like Lechi Biti, go home, Shovna Benotai Lechna, go home my daughters. What she's trying to say is like, leave. Like this, I'm not interested. So the first question is, why is the response so short? But there's another question. I think it's a pretty big one. So until now, they had no plan of how they're getting food. So somehow they were getting food. Naomi is like local. Like, she knows the deal. She knows the halachos. According to Chazal, she had been a wealthy woman beforehand. So she had been a wealthy woman beforehand. She certainly was aware of the idea of the matnos aniyim, the presence of the poor, from the other side of the table. So if she's aware of it, like, what was the plan until now? Why is she so passive? Why doesn't she kind of like suggest and say like, hey, like, we're going to die. We have no food. Go out to the field and go get some food. One of us needs to go.
It's tough to go from where she was to where she is. But,
right. It's tough.
Or the ultimate is realization. She literally has no way of fixing where they are. And she's now going to rely on her daughter, who fits all three phases of being able to go to a field of a poor person in a ger. And it's realization.
So let's play that out, Greg. I think you're definitely right. But if that were the case, what should her response be? Not lechi bt. What should she say?
But she's defeated.
Oh, okay, fine. So then that's two separate points. Meaning, if she's defeated, then she's accepted that I don't need food.
Her only hope is that because Ruth is so. Fits all these categories, is their only hope is that it's so pathetic.
Yeah, but wouldn't she then give her like a crash course? Like, okay, you're going out to the field. I just like, these are the things you could do. You'll be more successful that way.
She's never done it.
She's never done it.
But also, you just said, you know, well, she knows it from the other side. But I think she knows the negative side of all this from the other side. I mean, what was her family's response to poverty, or when they had wealth? What was their response to poverty? They said, "Well, let's keep the money for ourselves. Let's go to Moab."
Right.
You know, she's coming back with Ruth. You know, she knows that it's not going to be like welcomed with open arms, despite the fact that she might be a Gioris. No one's going to say, "Oh, welcome to the family. Let me help you out."
Right, you're saying that not from the perspective that she's a Moavia necessarily. From the perspective that she is from Mishpachat Elimelech, who probably are not well received because they ran away, or both.
I think it's everything. I think like. Naomi knows that the society that she's bringing her back to is not warm and fuzzy, or welcoming, and so like her lack of conversation, or like when she was, you know, is more like I'm gonna say like almost like when Yaakov, when Shimon and Levi decimate Shechem, what's his response? It's more like silence. Let's see what's going to happen, because I don't think she was confident that the whole thing is going to work out.
Got it. So that's why she doesn't. That's why she's so passive. That's why she has no response. Okay. All right. So let's take. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that says that Yoash, King Yoash, was her son, which is hard to imagine because Yoash lives after the times of Shlomo HaMelech, and she lives before the times of David. That's not even like a Midrashic stretch, that's like the very end of the Megillah. So you're talking that Yoash is way, 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 way past. But let's just play that for a second. The Gemara says, why is Yoash her son? Because her personality was hihityasha al chayim. She gave up on life, right? Yoash from the word yeush. She gave up. Now, if you accept that Gemara, again, I think that it might not be pshat, but if you accept the Gemara that she had given up, I think that actually explains a lot. She came back and has no interest in food. She has given up her desire to live. So even when she said she has no plan, because she doesn't need a plan, she's prepared and ready to just die. The chibiti, Root says, okay, I'm going to go get food. What is she essentially saying? She's saying, like, okay, I don't care. You want to do that? That's great. You don't want to do that? That's fine too. It doesn't really make a difference to me. Yael Ziegler has a great line where she says, no Zera, why need Zera? Right? So Zera can mean seed or children. It could also mean stuff that's growing. She has no need for the Zera that grows on the ground, the food, because she says, what hope is there? I have no children anyway. And so because I have no children, there is no future for me. I could die anyway. Okay, so we have a lot of questions. Let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel. And then there's an interesting Rashi that also needs a little bit of unpacking. So Pasuk Gimel, Atelef Atavo, you're going to go like down past the Malbim and the next Rashi. So she goes and she's in the field and she's behind the kotsrim. She's behind the people that are cutting. That's a perfect place to be if you want to get the leket. Right? You have the guys with the sickle, they're cutting, and then they miss one or two stalks. So she just stands right behind them. It's like, okay, pluck that. That's how she picks up her stuff. And what an amazing coincidence, but she ends up in the field of Boaz from the Mishpacha of Elimelech. So Rashi says the following. Okay, I want you to think. Tell me what story this sounds like. And you don't have to necessarily, you know, stick to Tanakh. Matzino b'midrash root adlo azla atat. So right, so it says vatelech vatavo. She goes and she comes and she harvests. So why does it say that she comes? Right, like it's strange. Shomer vatavo vachar vatelakeit. Right, obviously vatelech she goes vatelakeit and then she harvests. Ela shaitam is samenet hadrachim kodem shenichnasa l'sadeh. Before she went into a field, she made a sign on the path. She kind of like dropped stuff along the way to make sure she knew where she was. She wouldn't get lost and she would know where to return. Anybody have any suggestions what that might sound like? So you have a smile on your face. So I think
No, I'm thinking. It's not... Well, Simonim, you always think of Leah and Rachel, but that's not it.
Thanks, David. I appreciate that. So, Srili, definitely watch out. It's Simonim could definitely be Rachel and Leah, but the story that this most sounds like is Hansel and Gretel. She's like dropping crumbs along the way. Like, why? Like, what do you need to do that for? It was so hard to get back. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. She has no idea if it's hard to get back. It's literally her first time ever in this part of the world.
Yeah, I don't know, but like, it's a little strange. So what? Yeah.
You like whatever they're picking. These are huge fields. Like, where is she putting signs? Like.
Right, obviously she's not putting out like stuff that's like edible or people will take it. So I don't know, like she's taking like chaff and putting it out there. It's very strange what exactly Rashi intends with this Hansel and Gretel kind of story. So
there's a very strange explanation. I mean, we've seen similar language before, right? She went and she came and she got there or whatever. It's bizarre that he needs to add this kind of you know, coloring of the lines this way is a little,
yeah. Which
out of context for him.
Yeah. By the way, like the more pshat idea behind this, like coming and going, would be she goes into one field and what happens? There's no food or she's kicked out. She goes to another field. She either there's no field and she's kicked out. She keeps going until finally, vaikar mikreha, she ends up in the field of Boaz.
Yeah, I mean, look, the language isn't perfect. It could have been enough to say Vatavo or Vatelech, you know, either one. But it's a weird explanation.
But if she was, if previously, that was the direction she was going in. How come it? So is it like it's like a surprise? Oh, I found it.
Right. Yeah. It does seem that way. Okay, let's take a look at the last two psukim, pasuk tet and yud, because I think that hopefully that will answer most of our questions. So there's a back and forth between Boaz and Ruth. You know, first he inquires who this girl is. There's this strange girl, maybe a beautiful girl. It catches his attention, and they say this is Nara Moavia. Say Nara Moavia that came back with Naomi from Stay Moav. So what happens? So Boaz goes to her and says, like, I heard what you did. That's amazing. I want you to stay in my field and stick with my girls. And I have commanded my young men to not to touch you. And if you're thirsty, and go get a drink, you know, from my field, no worries. She falls on her face. Why have you been so good to me? And why are you being so good to me? And I am nochria. I am strange. I am a foreigner. So the first thing is the fact that he says, I've commanded my young men to leave you alone. That should imply what? Right. That should imply that if not for the fact that he said that, they were actually going, they would harass her. They would bother her. And the fact that she says that I am a nochria, that should actually explain how she truly feels or how she is treated by that society. So the basic gist of the Malbim that we skipped is that the cultural norm, that the culture of the time was that people were rough and not good to her. And that's actually what Naomi expected, which tells you the Mesiras Nefesh that Rut was willing to, you know, do. She was willing to put herself out as a former princess, perhaps according to the Medrash, and going out into the rough fields, hoping that she would be able to get some food. Maybe, says the Malbim, the reason why she only goes after the Leket is because the Leket was the least desirable of all of the produce. Right? Peya, there's a big corner. You could take as much as you want. Shikha, you're talking about a whole bundle. That's like real, like, that's a real score. Leket, you're talking about picking up one piece at a time. Maybe she's going there because that's the place that she finds there will be the least competition, the least pushing around. She has a chance. Rut is foreign to this whole area. Rut is foreign to the halachos. Rut is really Hamoavia. And it's not shocking, therefore, that Naomi's attitude is all is lost. There's no hope. We can't possibly make this work. And what changes everything? What changes everything is that you have someone like Rut who's so devoted. According to the Medrash, perhaps the reason why she puts those breadcrumbs, so to speak, out is because she wants to make sure she knows how to get back to Naomi. That's her. It shows her devotion. So you have her devotion on the one hand, and then we meet Boaz. Who's Boaz? Boaz is an anomaly in a world where the culture is rough. The culture is not giving. And that's really, who could appreciate that more than Naomi, who was on the other end of this, on the other side of that. She was the rich woman whose husband was not a giver, who did not want to deal with the poor people. And then all of a sudden you have Boaz, who goes against the grain that way. Boaz saves Naomi, and Boaz saves Rut. Saves Rut physically by providing the food and the safety and the protection so that she could be okay, she could survive and perhaps ultimately one day thrive. But more than that, I think Boaz restores Naomi's faith in humanity. You see a very different Naomi in Perek Gimel. She all of a sudden is like, okay, now that, you know, Boaz has taken interest in you, do this, do that. It's actually, I thought when I was reading these psukim yesterday, it reminds me a little bit of Yaakov. Yaakov has this defeatist attitude when they come back and Shimon is missing. And he's like, why? Why did you do this? Why did you sell me out? Why did you tell them about Binyamin? And then he like doesn't do anything. But after, once Yehuda gives him, he says, Anochi Erevenu Miyadita Tevakshenu. When she says, when he says, I'm going to take care of this. It's going to be fine. We're going to work it all out. He gives Yaakov life again. And then what does Yaakov do? Yaakov says, okay, fine. If that's the case, now that I know this is where we're going, do this. This is the plan to survive. So I think that is really, you know, we have this one pasuk that reveals so much of the tension between Naomi and between Ruth. Is Ruth viewed as an outsider by everyone? Is she even viewed as an outsider by her own mother-in-law? Does Naomi have even feelings for her? We don't know any of this, but we know that somehow Ruth is willing to really do a lot, and Boaz recognizes that and takes care of her, and through that they save the whole family, and you see a very different picture of the whole dynamic as we finish up the Sefer. Have a wonderful Shabbos.